Hello everyone, this is Tanya from 12 Element Yoga and Wellbeing. Thank you for stopping by and listening to our guest on Mind the Gap podcast. I am here to discuss real life issues that we all face or can relate to from our experiences of being blissful on the mat and the realities of the world off the yoga mat. As students, teachers, or professionals working in the health and wellness sector, we all have a unique journey and experience to share. From gym owners to face yoga experts, we discuss it all. Each episode will give you a guest with a unique story to inspire and uplift you on your journey into health and wellness. Be sure to connect with me at Mind the Gap on Instagram and check out my upcoming retreats and more at 12 Elements Yoga and Wellbeing. Thank you for listening. Whether you are out running, walking the dog with your feet up after a long day, or cooking a slap-up meal for your family, I appreciate you for listening to Mind the Gap podcast. Please like, share, and subscribe to be updated for new episodes bi-weekly. Welcome to Mind the Gap, Eleanor, and thank you so much for inviting us into your gorgeous studio space here in Brussels today.
Thank you for having me.
So our history together, we're just talking before, is you used to take my classes online during COVID.
Yeah, I mean, I used to go for many, many years to the yoga room, the facts. And of course, I took some of your classes in person as well. But then when COVID hit, I obviously turned online like most of us. I was already teaching at that time. I started teaching in 2019. So I was teaching online myself and I was taking classes online. So I remember your classes very vividly. Problems with the camera, with Zoom.
I want to forget that completely. Well, thank you for taking those classes, by the way, and for sticking with me there. So I'd like to start from the beginning of everyone to get a little bit of an idea of who you are, where you come from, and how did House of Yoga birth and be into the beautiful studio that it is today. So where were you born?
So I was born in Rome. So I'm Italian. I lived there for about 25 years of my life. And then, you know, for studies, work, etc., I moved a little bit around. And in 2012, I ended up in Brussels.
Okay.
Initially, it was supposed to be just for 6 months for an internship. I was doing something completely different before. And then the internship turned into a job. And then I, you know, met really cool people here, friends, etc. And I decided to stay. And now it's been, 11 years.
Wow.
12 years.
Do you speak French?
I do speak French.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bravo.
But not that.
So when you were born in Rome, did you grow up in a religious household or spiritual?
No, not really. I want to say that my grandmothers were both, you know, in Italy, they grew up being Catholic. So my grandmothers did have this. And so they would go to church every Sunday. But my parents, they both, in a way, completely rebelled. They were not at all religious. And obviously growing up with so I had a bit of both. I saw that religious aspect. But then on the other hand, not really with my parents. Yeah. And for myself, I want to say that I don't consider myself of a specific religion, but I do have a strong spiritual side, which I developed only later on, right? Not as a kid, not as a teenager, only like after, I would say even after university. So in my late 20s. And of course, yoga played a role in this.
Absolutely. So you said that you came to Brussels for an internship. So what were you doing before you discovered yoga?
Yeah, so I was doing something completely different. I was I studied political science.
Oh wow.
National relations.
Completely different.
Completely different. I mean, if you told me 10 years ago that I would open a yoga studio, I would tell you you're crazy.
But really?
Yeah, I mean there's that like I was one of those that was at the time, you know, when I was studying or doing my first jobs, like mocking the people that would, you know, the new age people.
Okay, yeah.
I was one of those. No, so I studied political science and I did an internship here at the beginning in a big NGO, a non-governmental organization. I was working on human rights and anti-corruption issues. So something really, really different.
Wow, super interesting though.
Yeah, very interesting. I loved it.
Yeah, that's huge. So how did you discover yoga? Did you practice yoga in Italy or?
No, not at all. I actually did my first yoga class in 2011. That was a year before I came to Brussels, and I was living in New York at that time.
Okay.
And I mean, I was 26, and you know, New York is this very big, fascinating, exciting city, but also very, very expensive. So my roommate at the time told me, oh, there's this yoga studio like nearby that is offering a free classes day, you know, an open day, something like that. Yeah. We obviously do as well once in a while. And I was like, oh yeah, sure, it's free, whatever. You know, that was the only thing that mattered. I had no idea. However, I hated it because, so it was not, my story is not a story about like love at first sight, enlightenment.
Okay, you know. tell me.
So the funny thing, I think, for you especially, Tanya, would be that the class, we obviously didn't know anything, and it was a Bikram yoga class.
Oh my God.
You know, we were those people that wouldn't read the description. We just saw Bikram yoga, whatever. We don't know what it means. And I remember coming into this room.
Oh, no.
It was so hot. And I thought, like, okay, they're certainly going to open the window in a moment, right? And then they didn't. And I was dying. I obviously didn't wear appropriate clothes because I was wearing like a jog, like trainer. Like, it was a complete disaster. I hated it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm never going to do this again. These people are crazy. What is this?
Well, crazy.
Yeah. And that was it, right? In my head, it was, okay, that was my experience. And then a year later, I was in Brussels. It was a challenging time of my life because, you know, I was starting a new career. I was trying to find my place a little bit in a new city with new people, and a new job, new experiences. So as it happens, someone said, why don't you try yoga to be, you know, to manage your stress? And I was like, okay, I didn't have the best experience the first time, but let's give it a second try. And then this time, you know, it worked out.
It was more pleasant.
Yeah, it was more pleasant. I used to practice at the beginning in the studio called Sampurna Yoga, which was in the city center. Unfortunately, it no longer exists. It closed during COVID.
Yeah, because I've heard of it.
And it was lovely. It was really lovely.
Wow.
And I was practicing there mostly Hatha, actually, which is interesting to, you know, to think about. Hatha, actually, Shivananda style.
Yeah.
Which is so interesting because right now, my practice is so different from.
But do you know Bikram yoga is Hatha?
Yeah.
It's just adding the heat.
Yeah.
But people are always like, is it? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, it is.
You're just
it
boiling. So it doesn't feel like Hatha yoga.
And yeah, that was a bit my start. At the beginning, it was really like a, you know, once a week kind of thing. And it was really small. It was small.
It was a small, nice
studio. Yeah.
More
it was lovely.
One-on-one. And it was lovely. Community.
At the time, you know, you didn't have big studios like the yoga room in Brussels. You barely had any yoga studios. I remember that when I looked for yoga classes in Brussels, it was difficult to, where now, you know, you Google yoga classes in Brussels
everywhere,
no? But at that time, it was really like a niche kind of thing.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
So then you did your first teacher training?
Yeah. So it took me some time, right? I did my first teacher training in 2018.
So what was the switch then? I'd love to know, like when people, because being a teacher is completely different from being a student, right?
I mean, I see so many, I find it very fascinating when I see people that tell me, oh, I started practicing last year and I'm already doing my teacher training. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
Because for me, I'm the complete opposite. For me
too.
It takes time
yeah.
to get into something and,
Well, that is the old school style, is like you would not just do a teacher training after 6 months or 1 year practice. You don't know anything in 6 months, 1 year practicing yoga. You need years, really, before, and then you have a mentorship.
Yeah.
You're working with someone. Like, I'm really old school like that. Because I feel like teachers become better teachers when they go through the whole beginning to the end. You need all of that middle ground where you really get, for me, I feel like the most richness of a learning curve and experience in order to be a good teacher. Like,
But for me also, I want to say that the first 3 years of practice, it was really just about getting my workout.
Yeah.
Like just, you know, moving a bit, like the breathing, the spiritual side of it.
Yeah.
For the first 3 years, I didn't understand anything about it. And I think I actually didn't even care that much.
Yeah. Just not me neither.
Came like, progressively, I want to say. So at the beginning, I was really practicing just once a week, then twice a week, and then slowly, like, it grew. And at some point, you know, 2015, 2016, I found myself practicing almost every day.
Yeah.
It became this obsessive thing that I was doing like multiple times a day. I remember I was going to the yoga room, to my early morning class, to the office, back to my evening class, and then like practicing at home before sleeping. It was like,
wow, okay, that's crazy. That's,
that was a crazy phase. And, I think about 2016 or so, I started thinking, I would like to do a teacher training. But then, you know, like this, like social norms, it was like, oh, but why would I do that? You know, my life is so different. I have this, you know, career, this job, this thing. It's completely different. Why would I ever do that? I will never be a yoga teacher. Like, why would I do that? No. And then periodically these thoughts would pop up, but why not? And eventually I was doing this yoga retreat in India in 2018. And it was after like a very bad breakup, and it was a difficult time. And this retreat in India was wonderful. And I was like, but why not? I should just do it. And that's when I started planning it.
Wow.
I took a sabbatical for 3 months from my job. And I went to the United States. I did my teacher training there.
So where did you do yoga?
In Hawaii.
In Hawaii. Wow.
In Hawaii Yoga Institute. Yeah. I spent 3 months there. It was the best experience of my life.
Teacher training. Yeah. I can imagine.
It was a hatha vinyasa.
It was a hatha vinyasa teacher training. Yeah. 3 months.
Well, it was a 1 month intensive, but then I stayed for two
Why would you not in Hawaii?
Of course. And I actually started teaching right away.
Really?
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah. It was really nice. And then I knew.
Teachers then, and that you did the Hatha Vinyasa with.
What were their names?
Yeah.
So Tara Lavery and Kinti Inafuko and Courtney Wexler.
Oh, no. Yes.
You know Courtney?
Yes.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah. Courtney was actually the lead teacher.
Yes.
It was lovely.
Yeah, she's been to Asia a few times. Amazing.
Yeah.
So then after that, and teaching in Hawaii, you came back to Brussels?
I came back. Of course, I had my job, you know, to go back to. But I knew that I wanted to try this out.
Yeah.
It wasn't, you know, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
But I wanted to do that on the side at least, which is what I did for several years.
You were teaching around Brussels?
I was actually teaching first at home. I was doing like small like home classes for, I didn't feel ready teaching like in big studios, etc. I was just starting. And then I rented for some time a room at the Studio 222. I don't know if you know it.
I do know it.
In Charleroi. And I was teaching there. And then of course, during COVID, I was teaching online, right?
Yes.
And then, which was difficult. It obviously like slowed down the whole process. But in a way, COVID was really good for me because it made me understand that this was at the end what I wanted.
Really?
And it made me realize at some point it's no longer sustainable to do the two things.
Job,
you know, I had this full-time job and then on the side, you know, I remember there were some of these days where I would work until 6 p.m., at the office and then run for my 6:30 class. And I would feel so disconnected because I would be there like telling people, oh, relax. And I would have like my heartbeat would be here in my throat. Yeah. And I was like anything but relaxed because I was doing all these things at the same time. And I thought, okay, at some point you have to choose what to do. Yeah. It's not sustainable.
The best teachers make that choice. I don't think you can work in a day job and then come and teach yoga.
It's really,
I think you can do sports that way.
Yeah.
But I think with yoga, you can, people can feel your energy and your presence, and that comes from being calm before you enter the room, and that takes work.
And it doesn't mean that now that I, you know, manage a studio and I'm a full-time yoga teacher, I am always calm and relaxed.
Oh, no. You're human.
But at least, you know, this is my focus.
Yeah, you're in the bubble. You don't have what you do. Yeah, and I think it really helps when your passion is your job and your love and you're here and you're creating.
It doesn't feel like a job.
How did the House of Yoga come about? And of course it doesn't feel like a job because it's what you love. It becomes part of you.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. 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 But this is also difficult, right? Because there is really, it's a challenge to separate my private personal life from my professional life because my professional life is my private life.
Yes.
I am who, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It's so difficult.
I think it's very.
I'm working on, you know, just one of my 2024.
Oh, really?
Trying to be better at boundaries and between the two things.
I'm really good at it now. Greg, like, you're too good. But I used to have that as well. Like, how I think most yoga teachers do. It's like, how much do you give of yourself and you let people into your life and your private life and you're meeting them outside? And then it's like, and then you're trying to be the teacher and then they don't listen and I think they can have favorites because you know them and it becomes, I had to learn the hard way how to set boundaries, but now, like, I'm really good at it.
Very good. Maybe I'll take some of your recommendations afterwards.
So what was the light bulb moment for you to open this beautiful space? How did it come about?
Yeah. So as I said, during COVID, it kind of opened my eyes. I realized that I wasn't satisfied anymore in my job. I loved it for a long time and I don't regret anything about it. But at some point I felt, I think I'm a bit more of a free spirit, a free bird, because I can no longer work under these like hierarchies and social constructs. And it was kind of killing all my creativity.
Yeah,
and I felt this like fire burning in me and I had to express it somehow, this whole creativity. And I knew that I wanted to teach yoga to continue. And I thought, why don't I create a space that is mine, but where, you know, we bring in so many different teachers with different, experiences, and something that goes, I felt that in Brussels, something that was missing was a smaller studio. You know, you have many big
studios
where you have, you know, 40, 50 people in the rooms, you know, for example, the yoga room, but there are many others, no?
That's,
and I mean, I loved practicing there for a very long time. So there's no, you know, it's just different. And then you have smaller realities, but very disorganized, not very professional.
Yeah.
And so I thought, where do we find this middle ground in Brussels between something that is very big and perhaps not super personal and something that is cozier, more personal, but still professional?
Yeah.
And so that's what I thought would be a little bit the vision of this studio. And it took me a long time to do this. I mean, I started thinking about this during COVID and I only quit my job in summer 21.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And that was, you know, that was the big step because at the beginning,
defining moment for you.
At the beginning, I thought, okay, I'll work on my business plan for the studio while I'm still in my stable and secure job.
Yeah.
And then I realized, okay, this is like, it's going to take you 10 years if you do that.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, you need to take that step. You need to take that risk, which was huge.
Yeah, it's massive.
You know, I had a full-time contract, forever in a way.
Yeah,
but then also, you know, COVID tells you that nothing really is stable.
Nothing is forever.
Yeah, so I quit my job, and then for 1 year, I basically, that's all I did. I worked on my business plan, on my financial plan. I worked on finding the right teachers, the space.
Yeah.
I worked on, you know, the renovations, which it was massive. You know, this place was falling apart when I found it.
It has a really nice energy. Sitting in here.
Thank you. I think so.
Yeah, it has really nice energy. Like, it's just, I don't know, it's a little special space.
Yeah, thank you. And then we opened in September
22. Yay! That must have been an amazing day.
I mean, I brushed over this whole year of preparation, but it
was
very, very intense.
There's a lot of behind the scenes.
Very intense.
It's just yourself. You are the sole provider for...
Look, I didn't study business management, right? As I said, I studied political science, something completely different.
So all for me, learning curve.
All of that was like the free information on books and Google, and I worked with a coach for a year and a half.
Well done.
But it was really challenging. I made many, many, many mistakes. And, you know, I don't regret it. I learned from them, but I learned the hard way.
Yeah.
I threw myself into this, not knowing anything about how to manage a business. And to this day, I'm still learning so much.
But everyone, I think, in business is, and I think you are in an industry now that is, as you said, when you first came here, Googling and finding a yoga class was very difficult. And now you have so much variety, so much choice. But one of the reasons I wanted to do the podcast with you, because I really believe that even though, I mean, I've worked in big studios, and I would call them corporate studios for 13 years. And 50 people for me is small. Like, we would jam 100 people and sometimes even more because the spaces were so big. So I'm used to teaching a lot of people, and it becomes non-interpersonal. Like, you don't, you know, people are like, hi, Tanya. And I'd be like, I don't know them. They're like, yeah, you're my yoga teacher. And I started to feel bad. It's like, I don't even know who this person is. Yeah. And they have such an emotional rapport when they see me. And I was like, I just don't know half of my students, even though they're coming every day. Yeah. I have so many students and I'm teaching. I told you, I was teaching up to 26 classes a week, which is insane, right?
I don't know how you
so
do that.
To find a studio in Brussels that's kind of gone back to the grassroots. And we're talking before about when you do a teacher training, how important it is to get like someone to mentor you. For me, that is really important to be at the same studio for maybe 1 year, 2 years, 3 years before you even do a teacher training. Mm. And so I really love what you've done here and what you've opened up. And you have a lot of amazing teachers who I know, who I've also taught with in Asia. So I know that you have really good quality teachers. You have a beautiful space. So I'm excited to see where this goes. What is your vision for the House of Yoga for the next 5 years, 10 years?
Oh, this is a difficult question.
I know.
I mean, I think now, you know, it's been almost a year and a half. So I'm really proud about the fact that, first of all, we have, you know, we have a base of regulars, of students that really, you know, always come to classes. And we have, I think, as a manager also, we have systems in place, which it was very chaotic at the beginning, right? For me also to understand how to deal with really pragmatic, practical
and
things.
Dealing with yoga teachers is difficult.
Oh, yeah. Everyone is a different person. This was really challenging for me because at first, you know, I thought, okay, everyone will want the same things. No. Everyone wants something different. Everyone is different. Everyone has different needs. So obviously I need to adapt also the schedule and, you know, every arrangement is, you know, tailor-made. And I think it's possible in a relatively small team. You know, we are 9 people, including me. And then we have two, three teachers that are on our sub roster, and they do replacements. But the base, it's nine of us, which is still, you know, a manageable team.
And I didn't ask you before we just get into that as well, like what kind of classes that you actually offer at the House of
Yoga? So we don't offer, as I was saying earlier, hot yoga.
Bikram.
No Bikram. Although I love Bikram. But I think, you know, there are other studios in Brussels that are doing,
of course,
that are doing it very well. So I think, you know, for me, it was about creating something else. People that come here have a different experience than in other studios. So I think we focus on what we do best. We do a like wide variety of classes, I think. We have obviously the more traditional hatha and vinyasa classes, but we also have, I think, a very creative kind of, vinyasa and power yoga classes, because we have a number of teachers that, are really trained in creative sequencing. And I think I'm one of those. I trained a lot with Bruce, who you obviously know. Bruce, I did a mentorship after my 200 hours with Bruce, a 3-month mentorship. It was a one-on-one program.
Super.
So, and I think
in Asia, we love doing creative as well. Like being creative for me is like, it's teaching is also a creative outlet. And because I'm a creative person,
for sure.
In Asia, we love doing creative
for sure. Yeah.
Sequences.
Yeah.
So that's really cool.
Yeah. And then we have obviously Ashtanga classes. Mm-hmm. We have more chill kind of classes like yin restoratives.
Okay.
We have meditation and pranayama. We also have a mobility class.
Okay,
on
great.
Mondays. And then what I think is also very special that we have in the studio, we offer one Katona yoga class per week. I don't know if you know Katona yoga.
Oh, yes.
I want to call it a style of yoga, which is a very New York kind of base style, which you could physically, I mean, I hope Lisa...
Is it hardcore or medium?
I want to say it's medium, but it's like, it's kind of strong.
Or,
it's more of a Hatha Iyengar kind of, because it uses a lot of props. But it's also like, it can be very physical and very demanding.
Yeah. A lot of inversions?
No, okay. I don't. Not a lot of inversions, I want to say. But it's also really interesting, you know, the way, like, students have been, it's something that isn't, you know, developed that much. And Lisa is, in fact, the only Belgian teacher that teaches this kind of yoga. And I have to say, it was very interesting to see how students have reacted to something so new, so different. And by now, we really have some students that always come to this class.
Awesome.
And I think it's really nice to see how, you can provide a variety of classes and something different, and people will react to that.
Yeah, actually. Absolutely.
It will take time, but.
Yeah. So the vision.
The vision, I would say, is now I would like to really consolidate the studio a little bit more now that we are we're a bit out of the honeymoon phase, I would say.
Yeah, congratulations on the 1 year.
Yeah.
The first year must just be a complete blur.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't done anything other than basically thinking about the studio in the last year.
Yeah.
So now I'm finally relaxing.
Yeah.
So I think what we have started is also to offer teacher trainings.
Fabulous.
We
going to ask you.
We started our first teacher training, and we are planning a few more. I would like to consolidate that part and make it a little bit more structured to make the House of Yoga also like a reputable institution in a way for like learning and development.
I think that's
of
a
teachers.
Great idea. I think you have a great space for that. You have great teachers. And you've also done a mentorship, so you know the benefits that you have after receiving that, and just the one-on-one. I think also, you know, the fact that you are open and willing to also do that as well. You're going to produce really good quality teachers. And in Brussels, I've noticed like we have a lot of, you know, I always say this, every second girl on Instagram is like a yoga teacher now after COVID, but we have a lot of yoga teachers, but we have very few good yoga teachers.
I agree. I
can, you know, when you've been teaching for as long as we have, like in the first 5 minutes, I can tell whether someone
absolutely.
I'm embarrassed by now.
Yeah.
I have to say, I mean, I had a conversation with some of the teachers here some time ago about this, because I remember when I started practicing yoga, I would go to some classes and think, oh, that was really great. And now I go to the same teacher and I'm like, what was that?
Yeah.
Like, how did I like this?
Yeah.
How is that possible? I'm so picky by now, which in a way, you know, I regret a little bit. I've lost my innocence in a way in the yoga, you know, world, because before I used to love everything and now it takes time to like be impressed.
Yeah.
I run last year, I did an audition for yoga teachers, for, you know, teachers to end up on our sub roster, and I received almost 100 CVs.
Wow.
It was insane. I was like, what? I didn't even know there were so
many. I didn't know there were so many available. That's amazing.
But okay, I want to say half of them were people that were still in teacher training or that had just completed their teacher training. And then, you know, I had about 12 people that came in to, you know, for the audition. But I want to say that, you know, I was really impressed only by less than a handful.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound mean because maybe someone comes to my class and says, oh, I'm not impressed by her class either, but which is fair. But
I think for me, the history of that, for me as a student, like having quality teachers means that you're going to have quality students. Hmm. And for me, it's more about, I feel responsible that I should have a certain quality in myself as a teacher and how I teach. Because I think after a certain time, people can get lazy, complacent, as much as someone who is a beginner and hasn't had a good, solid teacher training. Mm-hmm. So for me, I'm always like, people are like, oh, I don't want to quit my job or I don't have this time. For me, I'm like, then don't do the teacher training. Do it, but do it as a learning for yourself. And then when you are ready and you have the time, if you're not willing to put in the time and investment to yourself to do a correct and proper teacher training, it's going to show up when you teach. Mm. And then those students are going to get injured. And then you're affecting so many people by not making the correct decision. And I think with yoga as well, like you have a degree in what you studied and you were studying for, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, right?
Yeah.
5 years. So people are happy and willing to do that. But when it comes to their health and their body and their mind, I feel like there's still this thing of, I just want to do something quick, or they see it like second rate and not first rate. But I'm hoping, and that's why I'm excited about your studio so much and the kind of person that you are. And I've heard a lot of really good things about you, that we need someone who is doing teacher trainings at a really good level and quality, because you're responsible for someone else's body in how they move. And that's going to show up and reflect in their lives and other people's as well. So
yeah, for sure.
I think it's amazing. I'm excited for you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And for the next 5 years and what you're doing. So everything that you've done, and we're talking before about the change from being a student to a teacher, I'm going to put on your list of things to do this year as well, is like to take more time out for yourself.
For
and
sure.
To practice, right?
Practice and to take more trainings myself.
Yeah.
This is definitely on my list. You know, I last year I did my advanced teacher training, 100 hours. But I would like to
as well as doing the business.
You could.
I'm just like, what?
Somehow I managed. Yeah.
You need to do a yin with me. 75, 90 minute yin.
But I still hope that next year I will be able to do my 300 hour. And exactly, as you say, have a little bit more time for myself and develop as a teacher.
Yeah.
And take things a little bit easier, no?
Yeah.
But I'm confident that, you know, slowly things will progress.
Yeah.
We see already that now with the beginning of the year, people are coming back, are
yeah.
motivated. It's always challenging, I find, because I think what you're saying about the quick fix mm-hmm. of people do come to yoga with this idea of, oh, I just want to, you know, work out and feel better because I have some, I don't know, back pain or whatever yeah. it is. And they think that, you know, they come 2-3 times and then magically it's fixed. But when they realize that it might take longer, then
yeah.
they, you know, their motivation leaves, no? So
yeah.
This is, I think, challenging to keep the motivation going
yeah.
and to make people understand that, well, good things take time.
Yeah.
So,
and I think as well, building a community as well and yeah. having students interact with each other. I think that's one of the beautiful things that you're able to do at this studio is like have events and have people yeah. come together and connect. I think for me, I felt like that was something missing a lot in big studios. Mm-hmm. Hence why, you know, I said to you why I was inspired to do this podcast is to kind of connect and bring people together and hear about people's visions and lives and stories through yoga and how it's benefited them. And on that note, though, I'd like to finish, like, I know you have like a wealth of knowledge and I feel like you should write a handbook in how to open up a yoga studio. But what words of wisdom do you or can you share, like, on your journey from being a student to opening up the House of Yoga? Hmm. What have you learned? What's been like the main thing? Maybe something about yourself that you didn't realize that, huh, I'm actually really good at that. And I had no idea.
Mm. I think actually my motto is a little bit this being scared, feeling the fear, but
yeah.
trying to do it anyway.
Yeah.
Because
I love that.
It was really, really difficult for me to take that decision of leaving my job, but also going, you know, we haven't talked about it much, but for me, what was really challenging was that, people in my family and in my, you know, proximity were not exactly.
I know, I didn't want to tap into that.
About
but,
that.
Yeah.
They were not. I didn't get that support because it was like completely opposite to what everyone was expecting from me. And at some point I realized, okay, what people want from me or think that I should do is maybe not what I need, right?
Yes.
And so going against that
the grain of
that was really, really challenging. But at some point I knew this is my vocation, this
yeah.
is my calling.
Yeah.
And I cannot go against this to please others.
Yeah.
But it was scary and it still is scary.
Yeah.
And of course, everything else, no, building a business in a country that is not your country,
yeah.
in a language that is not your language, doing things that I've done so, you know, for the first time.
Yeah.
Everything was a first for me. And yet somehow it worked out. And so I think the lesson learned is I'm way more resourceful than I
yeah.
thought I could be.
Yeah.
And I think this could apply to many other people who perhaps don't yet have the courage
yeah.
to jump, not in the yoga world, but in whatever it is that their dream is about.
I think that's really good advice. And as well, even though initially your family, and I had the same thing when I said I wanted to teach yoga, and that was like, even, you know, 20 years ago, people were like, oh my God, you're a hippie, like you've lost it. And like, you know, I had that for years as well. So I really understand that. But I think going forward, because you actually have a physical structure of a business and you're going to grow, but not only that, what you are doing now is touching the lives of so many people. And often when you're a yoga teacher and you're teaching, and because I've, you know, been traveling around the world for so long and leaving many different studios, it's when you leave, you get the letters and the cards and people come up to you and tell you like the imprint and the import that you had in their lives. So I have no doubt that what you're doing here is going to touch a lot of people's lives, probably change a lot of people's lives, open up a lot of people's mindsets to something, you know, maybe send them on a different life path as well. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, everyone.
And for inviting us into this beautiful space. New year, new star, new life. Come and join the House of Yoga.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.